Welcome to Journey Church On Demand. We pray that you are encouraged by this message. For more information, visit us online at journeychurchdfw.com.
Our new series, Divine DNA, and I got to see a big chunk of it, and he did a wonderful job. I got to see it from Durban, South Africa. But here's the funny thing, 10:30 a.m. right now, or 11:30 now in Durban, would have been about 7:30 at night. So I actually got to worship with you guys right after I finished dinner. It was kind of an interesting dichotomy. It's kind of weird, but it was neat to watch that. He did a great job. And DNA, though, is foundational to who we are. As a church, as Journey Church, as we're moving forward, it's a big part of who we are. And so I'm going to continue it by looking at another piece of our DNA. And I want you to think about this. Our DNA, it gives our body instruction. It tells our body what to do. It's like a blueprint or a recipe, if you will. It's for everything that we need to do to grow, to develop, and to live. And the same idea is true in the body of Christ, both for us individually and for us as a church corporately. So we're going to jump into this morning, but as we do, I want to read Matthew chapter 23, verses 11 and 12 to you. And then we're going to get moving. My iPad's doing funny things here. Here we go. Matthew chapter 23, verse 11 and 12. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Father, thank you so very much for your blessings. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you're doing in this place now. I pray, God, for the next few minutes, you would speak to us. Let us walk out of here a little bit differently than we came in. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, so let me ask you something. How many of you have ever heard the saying, man, that's the greatest of all time? Anybody ever heard that phrase? Yeah. You know, we marketing people are good at that. They'll basically, you know, change the color on a box and it's new and improved. It's this and it's, you know what I'm talking about? It's the best yet. 33% more. All of those things. Well, the idea of the greatest of all time. The greatest of all time has monster significance to that. That phrase, that concept, the greatest of all time. And if you look at it through a sports lens, it kind of carries a little bit more connotation to it. Let me give you an example. When I started thinking about the greatest among you, right? The greatest of all time, that's known as the GOAT. Okay, the GOAT, G, greatest, O, of, A, all, T, time. He's the GOAT, the greatest. You get it? The first one that popped in my head, somebody just said LeBron. No. We're going to move. Not in Maverick country. Anyways, the first name that popped in my head was Muhammad Ali. You know what I'm talking about? I'm the greatest. You know what I'm talking about? You know, I said that even before I knew I was the greatest. You know what I'm talking about? Float like a butterfly, sting like... Come on. You got to work with me this morning. Muhammad Ali, man, he said he was the greatest. How about... Are you ready? Here's another one. This sickens me a bit. It makes me a little nauseous. But another one that really probably falls in that category is Tom Brady. Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you guys. I threw up in my mouth a little bit as I said it, but I'll work past it. I hate to admit it, but he very well may be. But we're going to get past that one relatively quickly because another one down here in Dallas Cowboy country would be the great Emmitt Smith. Yeah! Now, I got a quick confession to make, and I wasn't going to do this, and like I have time, but I'm going to anyways. When he broke the all-time rushing record back in 2002, October of 2002. I'm sitting in my living room watching the game by myself. My family's asleep. I'm watching the game. He breaks the all-time rushing record, and I sports cried. I did. I'm sitting in my living room, like, damn it. But I'm like, yeah, damn it, yes. I did. I sports cried a little bit, and I'm proud of that. I'll admit that. It was beautiful. And Emmitt Smith, all-time rushing record. We're talking the GOAT. We're talking about this incredible idea. But here's the thing. Do you know what all of those guys have in common? They were known to have an incredible work ethic. They were known to do incredible things. You would hear them talk about and say, oh, man, he's always in the gym. He's always doing this. He was always doing that. And so my question, if we really want to be the goat, and let's be real, we all want to be the greatest at what we do. Am I the only one? Yeah. Yeah, some of you are, yes, I'm more spiritual than you. Yeah. But we all want to be that. But if that's really the case, then let me ask you the question. What is it that people would say you're always doing? What is it that people would say you're always doing? In other words, would people look at you and say, man, he is always encouraging. He is always encouraging. Or would it be, he is constantly griping. How many of you know the encourager, you want to be around a little bit, don't you? The griper? I'm not interested in being a spiritual garbage can. You know, would they say that you're always encouraging or you're always finding faults? Are you always finding the good in things? How many of you know that you could be with somebody and they're like, man, that is just the worst thing ever. And after about the fourth or fifth time, you're like, I really don't want to hang out with you. Am I right? Because when it's just negative, 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 Nancy, it's like, I'm done, man. I'm done. Or let me ask you this. Maybe they would say, you know what? He's always working. He's always playing video games. One of me, he's always working out. Now, I do. I just like to eat. That's the difference. All right. There's a lot of muscle going on underneath this. All right. But that idea, you know, he's always on his business, or he's always sharing Christ, or he's always sharing on Instagram or the Snapchat. You know what I'm talking about? You know, and how, okay, you know what? I'm just going to go here. How many of you know that person that is way over the top oversharer on social media? You know what I'm talking about? And you read it, it's like, I had a hot dog today. I don't care. You know? Things went well. I don't really, I'm done. You know, but some of that's it. But we're always knowing you're always doing this, you're always doing that. The fact is that people, there are people that are constantly wanting to promote themselves. Do you realize self-promotion is such a big deal in our culture today? It's actually become a huge industry in our country. We live in a self-serving, self-promoting, self-gratifying culture. Some recent publications, I found these, I thought I would share them with you, that kind of tie into this. One is called The Art of Self-Promotion, 6 Ways to Get Your Work Discovered. Huh. Another one, Forbes magazine put out an article that said self-promotion is a skill. Another one is 40 ways to self-promote without being a jerk. Huh. 40 ways to self-promote without being a jerk. Good luck. Because when it's like, let me tell you what I did. By the third time, you're like, I'm done, man. Shh, cut it out. You know, no mas. Do you realize that more than half of students today, they want to be famous, but they want to be famous as being YouTube sensations. Right? Am I right, guys? How many of you are like, dude, I'd love to be like famous because of YouTube?
Yeah, be rich.
Absolutely.
Yeah, sure.
And I'm not preaching against YouTube because that's where I get my kicks and giggles. I don't have a problem with that. But what I am saying is so many of us, we want to be the GOAT. We want to be the greatest. And regardless of how you may think of it, that's the way we start to define ourselves. But Jesus defines greatness very differently. He has a specific way of describing greatness. He said, if you really want to be the greatest, if you really want to be the GOAT, then you had better be a servant. If you really want to be the greatest of all time, you'd better be the best servant of all time. He starts to define it because it's not about me. It's not about me building people up. It's about me serving other people and building up the kingdom. So I need you to hear me this morning. Jesus said you can be the GOAT, yeah, but you better serve first. Remember I asked you a couple of minutes ago, what is it that people say you're always doing? Let me give you an example of somebody who fits that. If you go to the book of Acts chapter 9, and I'm in the NIV on this, but Acts 9, 36. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas. And she was always doing good and helping the poor. She was always doing good and helping the poor. She was always helping people. She was always serving. She was always sewing clothes. She was caring for the widow. She was doing all of these things. And actually, later in that passage, she dies. God uses Peter to raise her from the dead. And all kinds of people come to know Christ because of it. But the reason is, it starts where she gets put into the narrative, is because she was always doing for others. She was always serving. So what does that look like for us? And I'm going to do this quickly. I really am. At least that's my goal. How do we live that out? How can we live that out? How can we really become faithful servants? I want to look at three quick biblical examples of what that may look like. And you may say, but you know what, Pastor Jeff? Man, I don't have gifts. You know, I want to serve, but I don't have these gifts. I don't know how to walk in these and live this out. You know, I've had people, I've said, hey, I'm going to give you the mic Sunday morning. Will you do this? And they're like, No. One time I asked my wife to speak and she said, I will kill you. And I don't think she was kidding. I think she really wanted to make my heart stop beating. You know, some people, they're comfortable doing what I do. Okay, some of you, you would die before you did this, but I don't have the gifts to do what you do. But you'd say, man, I don't have these gifts. I'm not Pastor Jason. Can I tell you, out of 200 plus people, there's one person, it's Pastor Jason, it's Pastor Jason. And I'm thankful for that. And if I'm leading worship, we are scraping the bottom of the barrel, people. I want you to understand, we all have different gifts. So what can this look like? You may say, what can I offer? Well, the first thing I would say is this. I'd say, you know what? Just bring a lunch. Just bring a lunch. King David. I love King David. I love the story of King David. I love everything about King David. War hero. Brave king. Bible even says he's a man after God's own heart. He rose to notoriety after defeating Goliath, right? We understand that's what really kind of put him on the map. He was loved. He was honored. People sang songs to him. He's known as one of the greatest heroes in all of Scripture. His leadership is legendary. But what made him the GOAT? What made him this way? What enabled him? What started it for him? And I'm going to show you this for just a minute. It wasn't the battles that he won that started it, though the victories were part of it, they were a result. What started it is that David was the first pizza delivery guy. Here's what I mean by that. David's the youngest of Jesse's 8 sons. The other ones are all out and fighting. They're all in battle. And what happens? 1 Samuel 17:17-18. And Jesse said to David, his son, take for your brothers an ephah of this parched grain and these 10 loaves and carry them quickly to the camp to your brothers. Also take these 10 cheeses to the commander of their 1,000. See if your brothers are well and bring some token back from them. David carried bread and cheese. He was the first pizza delivery guy. Okay, some of you are like, oh, now I get it. Okay, I'm with you. More than him beating Goliath, more than him fighting the Philistines, he was simply serving. He was simply doing what needed to be done in what most people would consider a menial task, but he was doing what his father asked him to do. You want to learn to win the battle? Learn to take a lunch. Learn to serve. Later in David's life, he won all these huge battles. He defeated the Philistines. Songs were sang about him. Read in the scripture. He wins a battle. They're coming back. And what are they doing? They're singing about him and Saul. Saul has killed his thousands. David, his tens of thousands. Saul is, you know what I'm talking about? Oh, come on. Do you know how, here I am on a plane coming back from South Africa. Saul has killed his thousands. David, his tens of thousands. And all of you out here are going. It is now. I just wrote it. But I want you to hear me. The scripture actually talks about that. They sang how Saul has killed his thousands and David his tens of thousands. David did incredible, incredible things, but it started because he carried a lunch. You want to be great? Carry a lunch. Learn to be insignificant in your own eyes. Learn to do that. Get out of the spotlight and be others focused. Can I tell you something? Humility is not a natural human trait. You're not gonna wake up and say, I'm humble and I'm proud of it. You know what I'm talking about? That's not us. We don't walk around in this incredible super humility, but it's something we have to work at. Something we have to be intentional at. And I'm challenging you this morning. Let's be really, really intentional and not be focused on just ourselves, but be focused on others, because the GOAT is one who serves. So carry a lunch. Another one I would tell you is offer a ride. Offer a ride. Simple. what I'm going to talk about in just a second, 553 years to be exact before that, this event, the prophet Zechariah, he declared that the king would ride into Jerusalem humbly on a donkey. Now, that was shocking to the crowd, because when you start to think about royalty, you know, you're thinking about coming in on a big white horse, right? You know what I'm talking about? You're coming in on this big white horse. You know, it's, we're talking this flowing robes, big crowns, you know, big regal type of circumstance, pomp and circumstance and all of that. Basically, bring it to today, we're talking the biggest stretch limo with paparazzi all around. Are you with me? I've not slept much this week, so you got to work with me. All right, but I'm meaning you, this is what they expected. The king would ride into Jerusalem. Instead, Luke 19 tells us, go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, which no one has ever yet set. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? You shall say this, the Lord has need of it. An interesting piece of that story to me is that the colt has never been ridden. He's never been used. But notice, other gospels help us piece this together, that it was owned by a business owner. And this businessman, we don't know anything about him. We don't know his name. We don't know what he did for a living. We don't know how many animals he owned. All we know is this. This one man provided a ride for the Lord. He provided a ride. I'm challenging you this morning that we don't understand a lot of different things. But when God's trying to lead us in a direction, we need to step out and follow it. That's been the theme this morning. There are times we got to step out not knowing what it's going to look like, but just simply trusting. Saying, God, I don't know what all these pieces look like, but I'm going to follow you. And you know what's amazing? If you read the story, this businessman doesn't say, whoa, 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 here's the deal. Low miles on this donkey. Low mileage, it's going to cost you extra. This guy doesn't try and upsell to a better donkey. He also doesn't give him Eeyore either. Eeyore. You know, you're not seeing any of those things. Simply what you're seeing is the Lord has asked of this donkey and he obeyed. And I'm telling you, the Lord is leading and he's guiding us. He's requesting something specific of us. Step out and follow it. You know, he gave what was asked of him. He gave what was asked of him. Can I just tell you, I'm hearing stories left and right of God blessing people in this church as a result of their faithfulness already to the charge. I'm telling you, we had one person who had been looking for a job for a long time. The day after they made a commitment, God blessed them. I had somebody else they've been fighting for a pay increase, a salary increase for months and months and months and months. They took a step of faith, heard God give a number. They took a step of faith in that. The next day, the raise came through bigger than they anticipated to where they could have, if they wanted to, pay for their entire tithe or their entire charge commitment in 1 year instead of three. We're seeing people opening doors left and right. God is blessing people. They're stepping out and they're tithing for the first time. God is challenging you. And I'm telling you, if you'll simply hear God's voice and you'll take that step of faith and offer a ride when the door is open to you. To be the goat, carry a lunch, give a ride, or number three, carry a towel. Again, sleep deprivation. This passage that I'm going to hit on here, this is just before the Passover. It's Thursday night. They're in the upper room. It's kind of a secret meeting, if you will. Jesus is having the Last Supper. He's about to lay down his life. And I don't know about you, but I'm the type of person, I like to think about what some of this looks like when you read a passage. So here we are, Jesus knowing he's about to go and be crucified. He's about to go lay his life down. And his disciples break into an argument over who's the greatest. Who's the goat? See, we like to think that the things that we deal with today are new and fresh to us. They're not. 2,000 plus years ago, all the disciples, who's the best? Who's the greatest? Who gets to sit at your right hand? We start to look, if you really look carefully, you'll start to see these ideas. John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Peter, I identify more with Peter than I think any of them. He was impetuous. But when he decided to go forward, he went everything that he had. There's that idea. And all of these, I'm talking the mover, the shaker, and they're all asking, who's the greatest? Who could be the greatest? And look what Jesus does in John 13, 4 and 5. Jesus, speaking of Jesus, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garment, and taking a towel, he tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Their culture, just like our culture, has a certain set of common courtesies. If you come to my house after I ask you why you're there, I'm just kidding. When you walk in, I'm going to say, hey, can I take your coat? Can I get you something to drink? That culture would have said, can somebody wash your feet? And it would always be, and I'm talking for the nastiest, you know, for the lowest level servant. And let's just be real, feet are gross. They're just gross. You know, people from the ankles to their head, I love them. But feet, they're gross. But what do we see here? We see this idea, they're at dinner. And the disciples are there, and in all honesty, this table is full of people with just selfish hearts. Asking, who's the goat? Me, 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 me. And Jesus sees all of this, and Jesus sees their hearts. And he gets up, and he takes a towel, and he washed their feet. Think about that. Jesus, the Son of God, living water, the Lamb of God, and the true vine. The bread of life, the light of the world, the living stone, the King of glory, the Prince of peace, the great high priest, the righteous judge, the chosen one, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the Alpha and Omega, our Redeemer, our rock, our sanctification, our righteousness. And he kneels and washes their feet. The hands that formed the mountains that were soon to be nailed to a cross took their nasty, disgusting feet and he served them. And when I've preached on this before, I've brought this out because I'm fascinated by this. Judas was still there when this happened. Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him, and yet Jesus still looks his betrayer in the face and washes his feet. You want to really be the greatest? You better learn to serve on an all new level. You better be willing to push in and do something different. Bring a lunch, offer a ride, carry a towel. Because when you serve other people, you serve Jesus himself. He made it very clear. He said, when you feed them, you're doing it as to me. When you clothe them, you're doing it as to me. When you do for the least of them, you do it as unto me. And you may say, Pastor, I don't feel like I've got so much I can offer. I don't feel like there are a lot of things that I can do. You know, I feel like what I have is just a little bit. But can I tell you, there's so much more if you'll just give your little bit. I'm going to do something this morning that I don't normally do. I'm going to recognize a couple of people, and I wish I could recognize everybody. Please understand, I can't. And if I don't call your name, it's not that I don't love you or value you. But a couple of things I want to recognize. Somebody who can take and serve in what some people may think is insignificant, but it's really, really not. Let me give you an example. Kelly Ball. Kelly Ball runs our early childhood, preschool and under. And she is back there. She coordinates a ton of volunteers because I'm telling you, there are a bunch of little kids back there. And it's cool to watch. It's really cool to be up here. I'm not going to lie to you. That's the way I'm wired. But if a volunteer doesn't show up, she steps in. Kelly is an incredible example of somebody who will serve. And the thing is, she creates an environment down there. So when maybe a single mom comes in who's been beaten up for the week, she can go down there and feel really comfortable to leave her baby or her child so she can come sit in the presence of God for an hour and feel valued. So you may feel like what you do is insignificant, but it's significant. Another one is Miss Betty DeLoach. She runs our care ministry. She helps make sure that every single person feels valued. That's a big deal, and it is not a small job. She jumps in and helps serve in a lot of different arenas. I'm doing this because it's easier to get permission or forgiveness over permission, but Jack and Jerry Dollins, incredible examples. You know, they serve in so many ways and do so many things. And I will tell you, when a family loses a loved one, they drive on that to make sure that there's a meal. And here's the deal. It's not bad. It's good food back there. Because we tell somebody you're valued. You know, Mark Shearer, serving in our missions committee, serving in our budget committee, serves in so many different arenas. There are so many people that you may feel like, man, I just got this little bitty piece. But all of those pieces come together to make it all work. Because you know what? As amazing as Pastor Preston is back there, without Kelly, he's in trouble. And you know what? I can love people all day long, and I do. But without Miss Betty's help, without Jack and Jerry stepping in a funeral situation, it's hard to do that. We can lead and try and really do what God's leading, but without people like Mark who are serving in those roles, it's more difficult to be effective in missions. It's more difficult to work on the budget pieces of the charge. All of that goes into that. We've got to understand, we've got to step in and take what we feel like may not be significant because it is significant to the kingdom. So what do you look like? Again, I ask that question, what are you always doing? Maybe you're always holding a baby. Then guess what? Kelly will tell you, we have opportunities. You see how I did that? Maybe you like holding babies. And here's the deal. Our motto is, Scripture says, and they all shall be changed. Okay? So that's a big deal to us. Maybe another one is greeting a guest. Okay? Can I tell you? There are people that when they're guests and they pull up here on a Sunday morning, they are worried. What am I walking into? What is this going to be like? And when there's somebody out there that says, you know what? We prepared this place for you. And they greet them. That's a big piece. You can connect to be a part of our Connect ministry, opening up your home for community groups. You know, I saw the numbers from this past community group. Things went well. We are going to need to create more opportunities. And I'm telling you, when you open up your home and somebody can walk in and sit in your home and feel welcomed, that's a big deal. That's a significant thing. Serve in the hospitality ministry. Helping in some of those arenas, loving a student, a teenager, loving a kid, looking for whatever gifts you may bring. In other words, whatever it is that makes you who you are, whatever it is that you're always doing, bring a lunch, give a gift, carry a towel. As we move on this journey together, we've got to be intentional in serving and thinking of others as better than ourselves. We've got to. As we're wrapping this up, and this idea of we've talked about the charge, and now we're Journey Church. And what does that really mean? We talk about the idea of experiencing God's presence. We talk about the idea of embracing diversity as connected believers, of really growing one another and growing the kingdom. If we're really going to do that, then it can't be you come in and be a part, but that's going to be about me first. We got to look for those opportunities to serve. Look for the opportunities to give of who we are. We can't be too focused on ourselves. I'm going to give you an example, two quick examples as I'm wrapping up. When I was growing up, my mom was a good example of that. And I'm not saying that because she's in the room, but I do want peanut butter pie. Just saying. But when I was growing up, she worked two jobs. She was a single mom by the time I was eight, and she worked two jobs. And you know what? Rachel and I never went without and rarely went without what we wanted. She worked hard to make those things happen. But while doing that, she also taught Sunday school. She led worship. She did so many things. She modeled what that looked like for me basically from early childhood. I think about my grandparents, who they were pastors. And at the time, boundaries weren't something that was practiced in the ministry. And so people, I remember having to sleep on their couch many, many times because somebody from the church was sleeping in the guest room. I can remember watching my grandparents give and give and give. There was one lady that, I can't get into all of it right now, but basically she'd had a very bad interaction with drugs. I believe it was LSD. And she would have horrible, horrible night terrors. And she stayed with my grandparents. And I would watch her have these night terrors. My grandparents run in there. And I could hear Grandma and Grandpa both praying in the spirit over her. And you know what? Honestly, what they did was significant. Because they were in the moment. They cared for somebody. See, the boundaries weren't there like they are now. Because my wife and kids share me with all of you. And so as a result, I'm very careful to put certain boundaries in so that they don't share me with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. because God called me to be a husband and a dad before he called me to be a pastor. Okay? But my grandparents and my mom, they loved big. They served big. That's really what it's about at Journey Church, is that we learn to love big and serve big. That we'll chase after that. We'll not think too highly of ourselves, but we'll be intentional to love and serve those around us. Because when that time comes and that DNA really gets inside of us, what we'll end up hearing is, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Not well done, goat. Being a servant. What does it look like? Matthew 23:11. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Question is, will you do your part? Will you do your part in this? We all have the opportunity. Will you step out? Will you do your piece of this?
Thank you for listening to Journey Church On Demand. We would love for you to visit us in person for one of our Sunday morning worship services. If you have questions, need prayer, or would like to connect with us, feel free to visit us at journeychurchdfw.com.